The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada, Hugh Hewitt, live in California today. That means it's very early in the morning in California, but I don't mind doing this when I'm teaching, which I'm not doing. I'm in California to salute with hundreds of others the career of Pete Wilson, former governor, former senator, former mayor, former state legislator, former everything, chairman of the World War II Museum, Marine. And so you don't get to toast a great man of America very often, so I'm happy to be here this week. But it doesn't mean getting up early and going to bed early, but that's fine. You get used to anything in this world. I have nothing to complain about. There is a great deal of bad news, and so I will come to that in the moment, and a little bit of good news. One great bit of news is both Ohio State and the Browns won. Now, this is not a sports talk show. There are two kinds of show on the radio, political news talk and sports. And the former don't do sports and the latter don't do politics. That's fine. The two shall never meet. However, I do have to begin with Baker Mayfield, who dislocated his shoulder during the game that the Browns won 31-21 at home. And Baker Mayfield came out and gave a little press conference afterwards. I just love this clip. Cut number one.
I'm not doing it for any gratification or anything. I put in the work during the week, come out on Sundays because I truly love this game. I'm blessed to play it as a job. So it's just one of those things. You're going to have to grit things out. And I'm not the only one that's dealing with injuries. And by no means is that the case. Everybody's fighting through something. The healthiest you are the whole year is when you show up for camp. After that, it's all downhill. So, I'm going to tough it out just because these guys are as well. You know, I'm not getting hit every play. So when I do, let's just go. Let's roll with it.
I just think that is a terrific statement of leadership and of motivation. I love this game. That's why I play. I love doing what I do. That's why I do it. And why I work every day. Why he works. Now, I'd like to get 4 months off a year. That would not be, I don't think Phil Boyce is going to go for that. But I would love to get 4 months a year off. Let's get to the rundown. All right. Baker Mayfield, I salute you. You're the man to Jimmy Haslam. Pay the man. That should actually be addressed to Andrew Berry, who's the general manager, who's a wizard, who got Demetric Felton in the sixth round from UCLA, who scored on a 33-yard mind-blowing touchdown, but I digress. Let's go to the rundown. It was a very bad week for Joe Biden last week, and the Sunday shows showed it. My friend Chuck Todd, cut 22.
I think he's got a pretty big credibility crisis on his hands, because all of these problems in some ways showed up after he said something basically the exact opposite. Afghanistan withdrawal wasn't going to be messy. This wasn't going to look like Saigon. The booster shots, he came out and he essentially said 8 months and even indicated maybe we should start it as soon as 5 months. Now we're not sure if anybody under 65 is going to get a booster shot. He's had, and of course the border has been, whether this, we can talk about the border problems. You could say there's years in the making. But it's pretty clear we have a bigger problem now than we've had in years. And this is these policies have turned into becoming a magnet. So he's got a lot of work to do. The UN speech, look, he's got some credibility issues on the world stage, to see, make sure that people still view, America as not just a stable democracy, but a competent, leader of the free world right now. So look, he's got a lot of work to do. I think the next month's going to probably still be tough for him politically, because he's got to get this big bill through Congress. If he can get that thing passed, Willie, I think he can start to, take a few breaths here a little bit. But he's got a lot on the line here this month, that's for sure.
Chuck Todd summarizing the fact that Joe Biden is emerging as a figure of some ridicule and a great deal of political weakness. On Sunday, the Senate parliamentarian ruled that the immigration measure that would have provided amnesty for Dreamers and many other people cannot be included in the reconciliation package that requires only 50 votes to pass. So it ain't going. Big blow to Joe Biden. It wasn't just Chuck, though. Jonathan Carl, another journalist I esteem a great deal on ABC yesterday, cut 21.
It looked like the White House was getting ahead of the science, that the White House was getting ahead of the health experts. And, you know, Dr. Fauci seems to be in a little bit of a spin mode and saying, look, we were just wanted to be ready by this date. But make no mistake, Martha, when the White House rolled this out, the expectation was you would begin the process of boosters for everybody on September 20th. That was not the recommendation of the FDA advisory panel. It will not be what the FDA goes forward with in all likelihood. And this is important because Biden's credibility on COVID has been what has driven his level of his popularity. I mean, this is what he is trusted most on and what he needs to be trusted most on. And we've seen it eroded over the past several weeks.
And with it, Biden's staying. By the way, the booster fiasco, it's a fiasco. The FDA's advisory panel, a bunch of outsiders looking in. And I fear, because this happened in the United Kingdom, that these scientists are allowing their concerns over equity around the world to influence the decision of what's best for Americans. I think the boosters should go forward. The president, I say thank you very much. But Americans are free people. If they want to get a booster, they can get a booster. And I'm going to get a booster, by the way, next week after I get back to D.C. But I'll tell you this right now. It's just ridiculous what's going on. Martha Raddatz on This Week also summarizing a Biden disaster of Friday. The drone strike that killed innocents in Afghanistan. Cut 19.
That stunning admission from the Pentagon that a drone strike in Kabul amid the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan killed 10 civilians with no connection to ISIS-K. It comes with the Pentagon already reeling from the revelation that Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley privately conferred with his Chinese counterpart to avert conflict in the final months of the Trump administration.
That is just another. The drone strike is very, very bad. I do want to warn Republicans, though. I believe that their targeting General Milley is profoundly wrong. I've been doing a lot of checking on General Milley because I know from the previous administration he was quite well esteemed by Republicans in the West Wing. I know that President Trump says some bad things about him now, but he was very highly esteemed, courageous warrior, good administrator, righteous man, extraordinary, great man of faith, a great Catholic guy. And I've been digging around. And I think when we get to the bottom of the Chinese phone call, you're going to find Mark Esper behind that, not General Milley. Now, let me also talk, though, about Representative Michael Waltz from Florida adding to the sort of summary of the weekend, cut number 18.
My heart and my thoughts and prayers go to this aid worker and their family. Every time I think this story can't get worse, mm-hmm. it does. and it's just heartbreaking. But, Martha, I want to take a step back and just unpack a few things, if we have a second, that General McKenzie said there. Number one, the military mission on the ground was put in an impossible situation. They were giving two conflicting missions. One, a full withdrawal in the face of enemy contact and obviously ISIS threats. But on the other hand, they had to stay in a posture to still be able to receive people and keep gates open and have our American citizens and others flow through. And those were conflicting. And they were put in that position by the White House.
Now, I want to pause for a moment. This is the most important story. It gets barely any coverage. Barely. There are Americans trapped in Afghanistan. There are hundreds of American citizens, something around 100, and thousands of American residents with green cards, and they're trapped there. In Afghanistan, the LGBT community, according to AMP, is being hunted down. And the Taliban says you can only do one of two things, stone them or push a wall over on them. Rick Grenell spoke up for the LGBT community in Afghanistan. So am I. We are not paying any attention to this. And it's not just them. Bernard Condon and Julie Watson, finally for AP. First story. I've got it in my hand. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm holding it up. Fearful U.S. residents in Afghanistan hiding out from Taliban. It follows, and it's not hard to find the stories. I'll talk with Selena Zita about her column. For these Marines, a constant rush to 0 hour to rescue stranded Americans. There are people that know where these people are. They're working around the clock, and the State Department is not doing anything. Not doing anything. Now, I am very careful not to tell you what I hear that would imperil anyone. I am here to tell you that the American media is not throwing the light on trapped Americans and American residents and SIV applicants, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of whom are there in Afghanistan. I can't report what I don't know. I just know that they're there and they're trapped. The State Department has fallen down completely on the job. This is Joe Biden's job. Do not leave Americans behind. Do not leave American residents behind. And the president has done that. The president is already a failure. He will never erase this indelible stain, but he can mitigate the damage he's doing. And going up to Delaware or Rehoboth Beach and riding bikes on the beach, not a good look, Mr. President. Go to work. Get these people home. I'll be right back after the first break on the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. If you're just joining, you didn't get to hear the best quote of the day, which I played at the beginning of the show. This is Baker Mayfield, Browns quarterback, after the game yesterday. I just love this quote so much. Cut number one.
I'm not doing it for any gratification or anything. I put in the work during the week, come out on Sundays because I truly love this game. I'm blessed to play it as a job. So it's just one of those things. You're going to have to grit things out, and I'm not the only one that's dealing with injuries. And by no means is that the case. Everybody's fighting through something. The healthiest you are the whole year is when you show up for camp. After that, it's all downhill. So, I'm going to tough it out just because these guys are as well. You know, I'm not getting hit every play. So when I do, let's just go. Let's roll with it.
I'm not getting hit every play. You know why I like that? I often say, and the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt often says, it's sort of one of our mantras. We have one mantra, it's easier with two. And the second mantra is, we have no problems. Now, of course, we have stuff comes up. I mean, people get sick. You know, eventually people die and you're sad. And very bad things happen. Any life has a best day and a worst day. And every year has a best week and a worst week. And every month has a best day and a worst day. And every day has a best hour and a worst hour. So there's always a bell curve in every segment. But Baker Mayfield was saying, other guys on this team get hit every day, like, you know, Jed Wills or Jack Conklin. They're just getting crushed by these giant defensive ends and linebackers who are trying to kill Baker. And what he's saying is, get some perspective. Yeah, I dislocated my shoulder and I played. Well, that's a pretty big deal, but mostly get some perspective. My perspective is no American has any problem except the 100 Americans that are in Afghanistan. I mean, there are people who are dying and sick this morning, and they're listening to this, and I feel for you. There are people who are up in the middle of the night in California who are driving long ways to work and juggling childcare. I'm about to go through the story set. I understand problems, but you really have to always understand that if you're not sick or someone close to you isn't sick, you really don't have problems. If you're addicted, you're sick, by the way, and you need help, and so you might have problems. But when I read these stories, there's a point to this whole thing. Just keep in mind, Baker Mayfield dislocated my shoulder. I have to play. I love the game. Great. It's good to love what you get to do because then it's not work. But other guys got it harder than I do. Okay. I just love that attitude. Story number one from yesterday. Afghanistan's LGBT community say they're being hunted down after Taliban takeover. Brought to my attention by former director of national intelligence, Rick Grinnell, good friend of mine. The Taliban judges ruled this weekend. Look, there are only two things you can do with a gay person, which is either stone them to death or push a wall over on them. We did that. We brought them back. That's on us. Fearful U.S. residents in Afghanistan hiding from Taliban, Bernard Condon and Julie Watson. There's a story for you. Every night, moving from place to place, Taliban leaving you messages were coming from you. I put on Twitter yesterday a quote from a Taliban commander. I tell my men, don't worry, they can still be martyrs. Oh. Okay, so they have this PR campaign going on, and a couple of articles got out about how the people in Nowheresville, Afghanistan, are happy that the bombing stopped. Just the horror stories are going to start to come, and they're always going to come, and that's going to be on Joe Biden because it didn't have to be that way. For these Marines, Selena Zito column coming up after the break. A constant rush to 0 hour to rescue stranded Americans. It's ongoing, it's ongoing, it's ongoing. They're over there. It appears that the Department of State is not doing anything. Against that backdrop, when I read on the airplane Saturday this Anne Marie Chalker story from the Wall Street Journal, I really got a feeling honestly, don't they know we don't have any problems? Adults are throwing tantrums in restaurants, planes, and at home. Blame the pandemic. Restaurant servers, airline workers, and customer service trackers report a wave of blow-ups rooted in pandemic-related stress. Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I did fly west on Saturday, and we had a not very good set of stewards, which is fine because it's a pain in the neck to be a steward right now. Now, we commented, we just thought that's just not the normal deal. What happened? Because we have a favorite airline and we have a favorite way to go and we have a favorite place to land, and it's usually a great crew. And the crew matters a lot when you're traveling and you've got a bunch of stuff. And yes, we went first class. Why? Because I can at this age and because the Fetching Mrs. Yoda with me. And so you expect a certain stuff to happen. None of it happened. And surliness usually is never there. But I did not care. Why? Because I have no problems. I'm not in Afghanistan. I'm not trying to get six children in. I read a story on the weekend about an Afghan refugee family where the dad finally had to leave his wife at the airport because her visa was awry. Took the six kids, got on an evacuation flight. He had worked as a computer programmer at Bagram. And he's in Rochester, New York, and his kids don't speak English. And he had four panic attacks thus far. He's been to the ER four times. That is a transition and a problem. He got his life and his wife did get out. Good story in the end. Hundreds of thousands. So don't complain. Don't be jerks. Just say, okay, this is not what I expected, or the line is too long. There's another story in the Wall Street Journal about child care. Do you realize that America's child care providers have only had 87% of their workers come back? Why is that? Because they can all make better money elsewhere. And so a lot of them have left. And so a lot of America's working parents can't take their kids to daycare, which spirals in. Did you see that? Look, I am very against what is happening in Texas. There are 14,000, 15,000 Haitians have walked across the Rio Grande and have set up Bidenville in Texas. We had Hoovervilles during Hoover's time. We got Bidenvilles on the border now. Those people have problems. The people who are supposed to stop them from coming or take them back to Haiti, they have problems. The people whose communities are burdened by the arrival of 14,000 Haitians who don't speak English have problems. Everybody has real problems. We have no problem, except that we have the FDA and the CDC. Now, this gets me going. The FDA has got the ability to approve Pfizer's booster. In Israel, they have approved this booster. Israel has been ahead of us on the science at every step of the way, except for the invention of the vaccine, which Pfizer did first, followed closely by Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. Israel rolled it out. Israel got immune first. Israel says we're doing boosters and everyone gets one. Why? Because it'll stop the fourth wave. It's completely intuitive. The risks are minimal. They're not non-existent. Occasional case. I mean, very rare cases of young men getting the inflamed heart condition. Very rare. Very, very rare. That happens anyway. And by the way, everyone should get the vaccine. I've told you that many times. It's a no-brainer. A no-brainer. A no-brainer. But unless you've got an underlying medical condition that says don't get immunity, but I don't believe in the government mandating vaccines, because we are a free people and people get to make choices in this country. One of those choices ought to be to get a booster. And I'm going to get a booster as soon as I'm 6 months out, which is this week, from my vaccine. Why? Because I don't want to get this. I don't want a breakout. And I don't. I have too many people on the spectrum from, oh, it was a cold. Now, former National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, to they're dead, right? They're dead. And people in between who almost died and didn't, and people who stayed home for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks and felt horrible and have long COVID. I don't want it. It's not worth it. I don't want to have to use ivermectin, although I believe there is some independent verification of its effectiveness. I don't want to do that. I just don't want to get it. I want to be here talking to you every morning. And I want people to be smart. So if you're driving to work, listen to me. This is not even a close call. You weigh the potential downsides against the potential risk. That's life. It's not a close call. Go get vaccinated. Go get a booster as soon as you can get a booster. And to the FDA, I say, I believe you have smuggled in so-called equity issues, which is not your job. Your job is this a medically acceptable risk for Americans to take? There is an overwhelming body of opinion in America that we ought to have the Right to Try Act, which Donald Trump got passed. We ought to have right to experimental medicines if we're up against the wall and time is running out and we want to do that, or the right not to take them. We are a free people. There are boosters that smart people like me cannot wait to get our hands on. Now, because I'm 65, I'm eligible. If I was 64, I would be as angry as ever. Because some FDA bureaucrats, someone's going to die because of FDA bureaucrats. And I believe, because they've been open about it in the UK, the scientific, it's an equity issue. We ought not to use these doses. They ought to go to the third world. Guess what? We invented this. Our country has to remain productive. We paid for these vaccines. We get them. We ought to also up production and spend some of this crazy amount of money that Joe Biden is spending on opening up new plants around the world to give people the J&J. One shot requires less refrigeration everywhere. We ought to take care of the world. We ought to be the world's doctor. But if American wants a booster, they should get a booster and no one should pay for it. Do you know that kids get thrown out of school and preschool? I learned this over the weekend. And they have to get a negative test to go back. And getting a negative test costs $150 and the deductible doesn't cover it and the government's not paying for it. How many families do you think can pay for $150? And yet we've got billions of dollars lying around unused because Team Biden can't spend a dollar the right way. I'm making an open offer to Ron Klain to come be the czar of this program, because this is not a hard program. You take the authority away from the FDA and the CDC. You say Joe Biden wants the boosters. The boosters are going out everywhere, and we're paying for the way for negative shots. Meanwhile, there's another model that some school districts are using, which is, again, this is just common sense 101. A new COVID testing model aims to spare students from quarantine. I heard a story yesterday because I talked to people. And by the way, it's not a story. I heard a true situation yesterday where a little league team, I was talking about this with Generalissimo because he's an umpire. He's a throw him out of here. He's like the meanest umpire in the history of umpires. Yeah, but he loves little league umpire and parents love to yell at him. He tosses the parents too. So Generalissimo and I are talking little league baseball, and the fetching Mrs. Hewitt says, did you know that in X city, a Y boy tested positive? So every member of his little league team with whom he has been only outside is quarantined for 2 weeks. And that's just stupid. It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Now, there might be children, but the little league, they're kids. They're not going to get sick even if they get it. And there's no evidence that this kid who got it and is positive because someone else in his family has been sick. Kids don't get sick. This is just stupid. The country is in the grip of stupidity, driven by equity concerns and a 8-headed hydra called the CDC and the FDA and the NIH, with advisory panels and too many people making too many decisions, and none of it is their business. They were not built to handle pandemics. They're terrible at it. They're just absolutely terrible at understanding risk reward and what a free people expect from their public health authority. And I like Anthony Fauci. I like Francis Collins. They're two good-spirited men who should not be making these kinds of decisions for America. America is a free people. We own the CDC. We paid for it. We built the FDA. We paid for it. We built the NIH. We pay for it. We make the decisions through the president, who wants, through his chief of staff executing, to have a vigorous rollout of the booster. Go do it, Joe Biden. Don't go back on vacation. Just do it. Australia and France are in a war of words over the submarine. Screw you, France. We need to get serious and common sense about China, and Australia needs nuclear submarines that work, not your bad French models. I'm coming right back. But first, relieffactor.com. That time of the day I take my relief factor. See right here. Even on the West Coast, because after I run my four shifts in California, right? Here's Icarian, Curcumin, Resveratrol, and Omega. I will exercise after I go back to bed. Leave the studio, go home, go to sleep. And then get up at 9, 9:30, go and run. Then do my second day. So I have 2 days in California, two 12-hour shifts. It's the only way to work in the middle of the night. And then I'll teach in the afternoon, or in this case, just screw around because I'm not teaching until the winter. But relieffactor.com keeps you in the game, keeps you doing that, but not unless you're in it. Active senior, relieffactor.com. Active Senior. ReliefFactor.com. Want to be an active senior? Go get ReliefFactor.com. Want to be an athlete for a long time? Go get ReliefFactor.com. Then come back to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Selena Zito is next. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about American standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Selena Zito is my guest. She is America's columnist. You can read everything that she writes at SelenaZito.com. We talked over the weekend about something that I'm not going to tell you about unless she can tell me about it. Selena, can you tell me about it?
I can't tell you about it yet.
All right, we'll leave it there. Tell me about Justin Trudeau. You just wrote a column in the New York Post that is about Justin Trudeau, who by the end of the day, I hope, is the fourth. They're voting today, aren't they?
They are. They're voting today. And it's really interesting sort of what's happening there.
Canada, for the benefit of the Steelers fans. We're talking about Canada.
Well, my family, we had a place up there for over 70 years, so I know a little bit about Canadian politics.
You're the only one in Pittsburgh, but go ahead. They lost yesterday. I'm happy, happy, happy. I got some heat on Twitter I got trolled by an Ohioan yesterday, and he said, you know, East Ohio watches the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I wrote back, yeah, so they love to see him lose like yesterday. But you go ahead. Tell us about Canada.
So Trudeau called a snap election in August. And interestingly enough, he called it the day that the polls came out that Canadians gave him very high marks on his vaccine distribution. And they should have. They have the best vaccine distribution as a country in the world. However, they did not like that he decided to call this snap election. Why? Because, first of all, there's very strict lockdowns in Canada. And so they believed that it was irresponsible for him to do in the middle of a pandemic, after being lectured forever about not doing anything. And all of a sudden now he wants everyone to go out and vote. And the reason he wants everyone to go out and vote is because he had high marks in the polling, but, that didn't transfer, that didn't stay, because people looked at it as like, you're doing this because you want a majority government. Trudeau lost his majority government in 2019 in those elections. In 2015, when he first won, he brought in a majority government, the Liberal Party. But he lost it in 2019. If everyone remembers, that's when he was found in blackface several times. There was also a corruption scandal. And so he has had a majority government ever since then. He did this to get a majority government.
And for the benefit of everyone, including the Steelers fans, and especially the Steelers fans, when you have a parliamentary system and you're a minority government, you can't guarantee anything passes. You need help from the left or the right. So he's been in coalition with the far, with the Greens, basically, right?
Yes. He's been in coalition with the Greens. Now the race is tied. He went from a very sort of...
Well, he's a doofus. Doesn't everyone know he's a doofus?
He went from a very comfortable lead to be.
Well, that's a technical term. If I confuse you, think of H.R. Puffin stuff. He's a doofus.
Okay, he's a bit. He's a yes. He is a doofus. He is a doofus. This is seen as a vanity move by him, and even the people that like him are pissed off that he did it. And what's likely to happen today is that he still has either a minority government by tomorrow morning and/or he's lost to the conservative. The only way that Erin O'Toole, who is the conservative that is running, loses is if the new People's Party.
Lefty. Off, yep.
If they siphon off. Enough. They are the far right, and they are the ones that are.
Oh, I thought that. Yeah, I thought they're the new lefty party. There's a far right party.
There's a new righty party.
Oh no, that's bad. Ah, doggone it. Look, I like this O'Toole character. I think he reminds me of Brian and the other good ones who've been up there in the north. You can never remember their names because they're all Canadians, except for Pierre Thurow's the doofus. Stephen Harper was a good guy. Brian, whatever his name was with Reagan, was a good guy. They all great guys, right? You want to work with them.
Right.
But, all right. Now, the other big deal. I don't watch the Emmys. I don't know. Did Ted Lasso win?
I don't watch the Emmys, and I didn't watch the football game because I haven't watched football since 2016.
Have you watched Only Murders in the Building yet?
Yes.
It's terrific, isn't it?
Finally, something that makes us laugh, right?
Only Murders in the Building is as good as Ted Lasso was last year. And so yes. Ted Lasso, I'm assuming Ted Lasso, I'll go look it up. I don't do entertainment news on a Monday morning because it just doesn't matter on a Monday morning. But Selena, I'm glad to hear you like Only Murders in the Building. In 10 seconds. It's just hysterical. And why is it hysterical?
Well, because it's funny and people make fun of themselves and they make fun of each other. And
that's
they laugh
it.
About it.
They laugh at themselves. Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez are sufficiently secure professionals that they just mock themselves as they get older. It's a lovely show. Only Murders in the Building. Only Selena Zito on Monday morning. Follow her. Get everything she writes at selenazito.com.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
Secret notebook of Nikola Tesla with his most dangerous formulas could fall into the hands of evolutionary elite scientists.
His most amazing discoveries thought to be written in a lost journal. In the right hands, it could revolutionize the 21st century.
They want to start a new world order where elites rule and everyday people are not created equal.
Look out!
Now the elites plan to set off an earthquake under LA to take out world leaders.
There's an old brown battered notebook in my office at work. You have to find it, take it, and keep it hidden at all costs.
Let's just say there are a lot of enemies of the state interested in his research.
It's up to regular people to stop them. A grad student, a campus cop, a deaf army vet, and a group of live-action role players.
A vertical quake this size could collapse half of Dontop.
Catch Final Frequency, playing exclusively on salemnow.com or download the mobile app. For more information, visit finalfrequencyfilm.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.